How many people in here read this at all? How many people read this? Got a question for you. If you've read this and spend any time in this, you know that we win in the end. It's a fixed fight. If you're a child of God, it's a fixed fight. But I got another question. If it's a fixed fight, why do we keep losing? If it's a fixed fight, why do we keep losing? I understand that in this flesh, my flesh has been exposed to a lot of things. And your flesh is going to always remember. My flesh knows what it's like to be with a woman. My flesh knows what it's like to do dope. My flesh knows what it's like to do a lot of things that I don't do anymore. But my flesh still wants to do some things. Does sin have to live in me? I heard someone say that we all sin. I heard someone say one time we all sin every day. That's something to think about. Do we all sin? And do we all sin every day? The word says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, I did a lot of time in prison. I know some of you did time in prison also. And I know some of the strongest human beings on this earth are people who have been through prison. You've endured things that other people don't have to endure. You've put up with things that you never thought you could do. You found out that you can do far more than you thought you could do when you had to. Strong men and women. The word says, in order to rob a strong man's house, you must first bind the strong man.
Come on.
You must first bind the strong man. Why are we allowing ourselves to be bound with stuff that's not stronger than we are? You know, and if I had to title this little message tonight, it would be titled, There's a Mouse in the House. Is there a mouse in the house? Would be the title of this little message. You know, I live by myself. I got a pretty nice little apartment, clean, and I really enjoy it, you know. And I pride myself on keeping my things clean and keeping my things neat. And I seen some things that were just a little mixed up or just a little out of place from where I had put them, you know, just trinkets of things. And I thought, what moved that? You know what I mean? Because if you've ever done time, then you're kind of OCD like me and you know where your stuff is. I used to be able to go in my locker in the middle of the night without turning on the light and get just the cake I needed. Yeah. Because I knew where my stuff was. Because you didn't have many things. And you became protective over those two or three things, and you became a person who put it in order. I put the same thing in the same place every day. I can send you to my home right now to get my Michael Kors watch, or I can send you to my home to get my I can tell you exactly where it is sitting. I can tell you where my suits and different things, exactly where they're sitting, and go get them because I keep things in order. But there was something messing with my stuff. Thought, what is this? And every now and then at night, and just I'm laying there and I'd hear a rattle or just a bag cringe or something, you know. What is this? And I had company one day. And she said, oh, she said, Lyle. I said, what? A little mouse just ran over there. Now, I that bothers me. I hate little furry creatures. I hate little furry creatures in my house. Okay, so here's my thing. How bad do I want to get rid of this little furry creature? Or was I willing to habitate with this thing in my house? So what I began to do, I went and got cheap. I went and bought these little cheap mouse traps. You know, I'm going to get him, because my mindset didn't quite resonate or didn't quite come to the whole summation of what this thing could possibly be or what it can possibly do in the long run if I let this thing live in my house. or what it's going to bring with it. So I got this cheap little mouse trap, and I set the thing, and I put peanut butter right in the middle. I'm going to get him. Little sticky trap. I came home one day, and the whole trap was gone. This is a true story. I have never found that trap to today. Now, whether he drug it under the refrigerator or what, I have never seen that trap from today to day. So, okay, how bad did I want this mouse out of my house? How much trouble is this mouse going to cause me? What is this thing going to grow to be? So what I did, put one of them other little mouse traps down there, and same thing, same little mouse trap that he took the first time, and I put a piece of peanut butter right in the middle. But I began to go in my room and move my stuff. Yeah, I go to church and I dress, you know, I wear suits and stuff. I got shoes that cost pretty good. So I'm lifting my shoes up. I'm rearranging my house and putting my things up for this thing that's not even wanted in my house. What I'm doing is making accommodations for this thing in my house that doesn't belong. Instead of putting my foot down and getting this thing out of my house. So now, the girl that we're not to date anymore, with the girl, she came over again and we're watching TV or something, and she got me in the kitchen, and she said, "Did you move that trap?" I said, "No." I said, "Why would I move the trap? You know what I mean?" I went, why would I move it? She said, "Well, it's sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor, and there's no peanut butter on it." I said, "What do you think I did, ate the peanut butter or something?" So now, this thing is getting on my nerves. It's getting on my nerves now. Because every now and then, like I said, I'd be sleeping, I'd hear a rattle run by real quick. And I'm not really afraid of this thing, but sometimes that thing brings a little fear to me just off of that moment. Because it doesn't belong in my house. It does not belong in my house. So now I got serious. I went and got a mouse trap. I went and got a killer mouse trap this time. So I put that peanut butter right there in the middle. And as I'm sitting there watching TV one night, I hear, oh yeah. I jump up and he's stuck right in the middle. He can't go nowhere. He look up at me, squeak, squeak, squeak. And I live upstairs and I got an outside patio. So I look at that little junk and said, ah, all the stuff you did to me. Ah, I just screamed at it. See, because listen. I'm saved and sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know, I still have some issues. I screamed that thing just shook. Because he didn't belong in my house. He had intimidated me. He had intimidated my company. He was messing with my thing. So I got up on that patio, and I noticed cats live on the neighborhood. I said, "Yeah, you stuck this thing." I flung it right in the alley. It's sitting right in the alley with him on top, doing this here. He was gone the next morning. But I said that to say this. How many times have things inside of you start to surface and you know it doesn't belong there? That anger that you knew you had got rid of. Yeah, you don't do that no more. You know, you saved now. You don't get mad and curse and act the fool no more. We don't do that no more, right? But then soon something happened there, that MF come out of your mouth. All these things, and you're like, ooh, you know what I mean? But it's not that bad, right? Because nobody heard it. Nobody saw it. So it's not like that mouse. See, you guys didn't see that mouse in my house. You see me, I'd be kind of halfway dressed nice and do all right. But you didn't see the mouse, so I could play like it's nothing, like it's not there. But it was a mouse in my house. What is the mouse in your house? What is the mouse in your house? Are you still caught in that you are one of those people who just had to be sexually active without a husband or a wife? You're one of those people who had multiple partners. And now that you're saved, you may get you one somebody, or you may sneak around, or you may do what you do because nobody knows. But this is that one thing that's still holding you back. What is that one time that when nobody else is around, you go to the store or you'll send somebody to go get that half pint? And you got it tucked in your socks because nobody knows. It's that one thing that still bothers you. It's the one thing that still holds on. It's the one thing that wants to be in your house that has no place in your house. Or maybe I'll take a hit every now and then. Nobody's going to know because I just took a test today. So if I take a hit now, they're not going to call me for 3 or 4 days. It'd be out of my system. See, and that may sound far-fetched to somebody who's not going through that, but there's somebody who's going through that. I was living proof of that because I was that person. This, I allowed those things to bind the strong man to become something in my house that had no business in my house. I allowed those things to become, and then slowly I became that thing that was living in my house. And then I want, you know, because I couldn't tell nobody. You know, you got mentors here, but I couldn't tell nobody. I can't tell these people I'm struggling with this. I can't tell nobody that. Or here's the thing I tell myself, that's not that bad because everybody sins. Because I had learned this in churches from pastors that everybody sins. So if everybody sins, what's wrong with me just doing that little thing on the side? Because I still shave every day. I still take a shower now. You know, I've learned two or three words. I've learned a scripture or two. You know, I got a little job. So what's wrong with me holding on to that mouse in the house? What's wrong with letting him live in my house? Let me tell you some truth. The word says you should know the truth will make you free. You don't have to live in sin. Anybody who tells you that foolishness, run from them. Yeah, I was in a church and a pastor, I was visiting a church and a pastor says, we all sin every day. He said, I sin every day. And that thing bugged me. I was a young saint, but that thing bugged me so bad that I raised my hand in the middle of church service. See, because I got issues. I have issues like that. I just don't believe. To me, that's bullying people. I can't stand a bully. I fought every bully in my neighborhood. I fought every bully in my school. I can't stand a bully. You're bullying these people who aren't strong enough to stand on their own. You're bullying people who don't have the courage to go forth and know that you can live right. And when he said that I raised my hand, that dude ignored me for a long time. But I'm Marcella Kelsall's son. If you know Marcella Kelsall, she's real persistent. So my hand stayed up. And he finally pointed to me. I said, Pastor, I got to know this. Since you say everybody sins every day, and you sin every day, that's right. I sin every day just like everybody else. I said, well, you need to think about that. You need to step down and be the pastor of this church. Because it needed to be said. Now, somebody might have thought I was rude, but that needed to be said. If you're the pastor of this church and you sin every day, you need to step down. You need to get behind somebody that has the Holy Ghost in them. See, let me read something here. Romans chapter 6. Now, I didn't write this Bible. I studied it. I apply it in my life. But I didn't write this Bible. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because that's our favorite thing. God's grace is sufficient. How many times did I say that back in that paddy wagon? God's grace is sufficient. You know, I look and see my picture on the news again with the most wanted. Most wanted once again. But God's grace is sufficient. I'm headed back at RDC sitting in that room. If you've been to RDC, you know what I'm talking about. In that room with 30, 35 men butt naked sitting next to each other. God's grace is sufficient. What do you talk about when you're sitting around 35 men butt naked? Hey, how about those Cubs? You know what I mean? These may be crazy things to some people, but these are real in our lives. These are things in our lives that are real and tangible that we know what I'm talking about. Because God's grace is sufficient. You know, but if I listen to that pastor, everybody sins every day. Okay, if you sin every day and you're going to heaven, give me a bag of rocks and two girls. I'm going to the hotel. They'd be my two sins. I choose them to. If you can sin every day and you're going to heaven, why can't I sin every day and go to heaven? Because that's a lie. That's just a lie. So when you people preach that mess, man, if it's not lining up with the word, get out of there. You're in the wrong place. It says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in the new, we should also walk in the newness of life. I'm in chapter 6, verse 5, if anybody's following me. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The old man is crucified. You know, I'm not a dope fiend anymore. I'm not a dope fiend. Tomorrow, if I live to see tomorrow and see midnight, I will have 8 years clean. Amen. From any dope of any kind, from any substance in my body. I will have had 8 years clean from actually sleeping with a woman. Now, I can say that because we're all adults in here. Because I choose that because I want to sleep with my wife next. Amen. That wants to be the woman I want to be with is my wife. Amen. And that was my prayer to God. I said, God, you know I'm not a virgin, God. You know I've been out there all kind of ways. I said, but God, what I want you to do is make me as pure as you can make me for my wife. I want to be able to give her the best I can give her. Be the purest thing I can be for her. If I crucify with that thing, but you know what? And I'm going to go in. I'm speaking at my home group Sunday. And when I go in front of that group, I'm going to say, hey, my name is Lyle, and I'm an addict. But I'm not an addict. But that's, I'm going to say that for this reason. I have to clarify this. But this, Paul says, I became all things to all men, that by all means I may win some for the kingdom of God. Paul knew he wasn't going to win them all, but he said, I may win some. The Bible says you got to meet a man where he is. How can I tell you about how coming out of homosexuality? I've never been homosexual. I don't know how to come out. You know, I don't know nothing about that. How can I tell you about being an arsonist? I ain't never set fire. That wasn't my thing. But if I'm going to reach a room full of addicts, I need to be able to tell them, yeah, I was there. I can show you how to come out. I can show you how to come out. It says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not. I'm going to tell you something. We are only as sick as our secrets. That thing you think don't nobody know, we see it. That thing that you think don't nobody know, you're wearing it on your sleeve. That thing you think nobody know, you're becoming that thing slowly. You got to, you know what? How could I, God knows I was not a first time winner to this program. I was not a first time winner to this process. God knows I've been in and out and 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 in and out. I was not a first, because I would come, but I would come guarded. I would guard who I am. I can't let you know that I'm weak. I can't let you know that I have any fears. I can't let you know that I have hang-ups. I can't let you know that I'm not about all that. But when I finally let somebody in my business, God began to clean my life up. When I finally began to tell somebody who I was and where I was, somebody began to help me come away from that. We got to quit hiding behind the facade. Anybody can put on a new suit or a new shirt or whatever. I don't clean up so bad, but that doesn't mean nothing. I cleaned up pretty good back then. I couldn't live a nickel worth of nothing. I couldn't hold nothing. I had no substance. The mouse was becoming a rat, and the rat was becoming a pack in my house. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, because it will. It will. You know, I call myself, I was saved, sanctified. And I did something saved and sanctified that I never did when I was out there in the streets. And I did it in the name of God, called myself helping somebody, but I wasn't ready. People would call me all night, can you come here, can you come here? But I knew they weren't ready. Instead of me being smart enough to say, I'm not coming over there. See, because today I will come. If it's the right call, the right thing, I will come. Because God has strengthened me and God has given me the wisdom. I'll call somebody and we will come. But I went and picked this person up. She called me, she's supposed to be up friend. I got her in my car and she brings some guy with her. So who's this? Well, we want to go over here to this street. And I know it's a dope house because I'm from the hood. I know the people. I knew people running the dope house. So I began to, we ain't going to do that. She began to tell me, well, you can't tell me what I'm going to know. You can't tell. And I got frustrated. See, that human, that old flesh came back in me and I got frustrated. And I'm ready to check her. But God gave me, it says, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. And God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll provide a way of escape that you can get out. So he held me just long enough to get her to that street and I dropped off. And she looked at me and I told her, as she was getting out the door, I said, you know what? You ain't seen the end of this. I said, you don't have a clue what you up against out in these streets. I went home. 4 o'clock in the morning. I lived out by the airport there. Now Marvin's been out there. He kept got me back, man. I'm out there and the phone rings. And it's her. And she's crying hysterically. Who is this? Yeah, I knew who it was. Who is this? He said, this is so-and-so. What's wrong with you? They took me to the truck stop and did all kinds of stuff with me. I said, what you thought they was going to do? I said, that's part of it. See, that comes with it. See, let me tell you something. You know what comes with getting high, getting drunk? Stitches. You get stitches inside the head. You get stitches in your arm, stitches in your back sometimes. Going to jail, getting put out, sleeping on somebody else's couches. See, all that comes with getting high. You can't have the getting high and getting drunk and don't get that with it because that goes right with it. It goes right with it. You know, getting beat upside the head, running down the street, somebody chasing you. You know, nobody beats that. I thought I was a pretty good street fighter back then. They had a pretty good reputation, good athlete. I got on that dope one time and a little young boy got behind me and I'm running down the street. Some young kid. And you know what made me stop running? I looked at Stony Church. He looked at me and he looked at the little boy behind me. He said, Law? Hey, man. I was so ashamed I stopped whooping. I stopped and turned around and looked at the little boy. He wasn't about that big. But that lifestyle turned me into a coward. It took away the gift that God had given me. But anyway, I go back. I said, I'm not coming out there. So I got a sister that works at a shelter for women. And I'll call her at night. We've already had this established. If I need you, I'm going to call you. You help me to get these people where they need to go, Eunice. And so I said, now listen, if I come out there, I'm taking you straight to my sister. We're not going nowhere, nothing. We ain't doing nothing else. Oh, okay. Now, I live at the airport. She's way out at the Fort Myers truck stop. Good grief. It's snowing out. I get in the car. I go out there to get her. She's standing out there with a thing of coffee in her hand. She gets in the car. So we're coming down the street. We get almost in town. She said, take me over by and pick up so-and-so so he can help me pack my stuff. I said, I'm not picking up nobody. I said, I help you pack your stuff or you can leave your stuff. You don't even need it. You don't even need it. It's a new life, new stuff. See, that's what I had to learn. I had to quit going back. I had to quit going back in, getting that stuff that had those same old spirits, that same old attachment to what I was trying to get away from. I had to leave that stuff behind. A fig leaf would have been good enough for me when I walked out saved. I was good enough. I didn't want to go back. I was tired enough. I didn't want to go back to that life. So she began to talk crazy. And we coming down Clinton Street. She talking crazy. 100 miles. You can't tell me what to do. She went back to that. And now, that old man had come back. Here's that old man again. And I looked at her. She said, I'll get you. Let me out of the car. We go on the street. She opened my car door. We're going about 35, 40 miles an hour. She opens my car door in the middle of the street, cars on both sides. And before I could think, I bust her in the face with my fist. Bow! I grabbed her by the hair and pulled her back in. I never hit a woman before I got saved. I didn't fight women. I hit that woman upside her head, saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Because I went out there and I wasn't ready. I didn't have enough in me to understand that I wasn't ready for that. And I'm saying that because God has called people in this very room. But you've got to wait to let God fortify you. And you've got to take with you, two are better than one. Three is a strand not easily broken. And I shared that story because I don't want somebody to sit here and let guilt take them somewhere because they think I'm worse than the next person. Because, I mean, look, I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I let that mouse in the house get back. I have since dealt with a lot of that mouse in the house because I began to put my foot down and allow God to remove these things from me that don't belong in me. I began to get behind somebody and let somebody lead me. I didn't have to be the leader. It was okay for me to follow somebody who was going where I wanted to go to help take me where I wanted to be. But and I'm saying these things because what's inside of you is going to come. I know a guy one time, we were stealing pops. The pop truck had left the big pop truck up, right? We all run in, grab a case of pop, we running. And the one guy didn't get one. Why ain't you getting up, man? You scared? He said, no. No, he said, I ain't scared. He said, but I live with my daddy. He said, where am I going to tell my daddy I got that case of pop from? See, because there was a strong man living in that house. You wasn't bringing that garbage up in his house. You weren't going to bring that garbage in his house. When you begin to understand that you cannot rob the blind man, the strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. Quit allowing yourself to be bound because the people downtown are getting on your nerves. So what? Man, you know, quit allowing. I mean, look here, I had moved. I was on house arrest the last time on house arrest. I had moved in a place and just got moved and I lived by myself, had my dog and everything, had a big old Rottweiler. And I was going to take the garbage out. And I remember calling people. They said, hey. I said, hey, the garbage man come in the morning. I'm all moved in. I got these boxes of stuff. Can I take them to the curb? And the person on the phone told me, well, is there anybody walking down the street you can call? This is what they told me. So I'm saying this because I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about what you're going to face and come up against. Her ignorance isn't my problem. But I was so immature and I was so self-righteous that you ain't going to talk to me that way. I don't know what I'm going to talk to you. You can't talk to me that way. I was one of them old dope beads running around the street looking so bad, man, you couldn't even recognize who I was. I was running around the street thinking so bad, you can smell my feet through my shoes. But all of a sudden now I got some dignity and you can't talk to me any kind of way. I ended up going to jail about taking the garbage to the curb. I could have took it out the next day on the way to work. But you just ain't going to talk to me that way. I had to learn to quit letting that mouse in the house come out and embarrass me in front of my people. I had let that mouse quit intimidating me in my house. This is my house. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going to let those things take over no more in my life. No more am I going to give up my freedom because somebody downtown doesn't like me. Because somebody downtown is giving me a hard time. They won't let me go to work here. They won't let me do that. Who cares? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if God has got me, God has me. Amen. Either he got me or he don't. Amen. Because here's what I do know. Here's the truth. If God don't got me, I'm going back to the streets anyway. If God don't got me, I'm going back to being a lying, perverted, dope-fiend thief that I always was. But I know God has got me. God has kept me. In all these 8 years I've been saved, God has kept me. Every time when a situation looked like it was stacked against me, God showed up. He showed up every time when there was no reason to show up. There was no way that I'm going to get out of this thing right. There was no way it was going to work out for me. But God showed up. He showed up every time. He not only cleaned me up from the outside, but he cleaned me up on the inside. And God's allowed me to go places where I never thought I would go. I got direct line to the mayor's office. I'm speaking October 29th in the attorney general's office. They've called me and said, listen, we want you to start traveling. They said, you're not going to be, I work for Chambon & Sons now. And they told me, you're not going to be out there very long because we need you to start traveling with us. Amen. You're talking about an old lying, dope fiend thief that wasn't going to amount to nothing. On top of that, 50 years old, I was still a lying, dope fiend thief. Wasn't going to amount to nothing. Wasn't going to be nothing but God showed up. All I did was finally surrender. And I quit letting people dictate how I'm going to feel. You don't have to speak to me to make me feel good about myself. You don't have to do the things I want you to do. to make me feel about my good about myself. You can't validate me because of things you say about me. Yo, I was a girl, I'm gonna say this, I ain't gonna be much longer, we'll get out of here. Someone got on Facebook, said some things about me. I showed it to Marvin. I wouldn't show it to Pam, I couldn't show it to Pam. But I showed it, you know, I couldn't, it was vile. Because she hit me on Messenger one time and asked me, she said, hey, can you give me some Percocets? Now, I had been clean this time 5 years. And I didn't do Percocets when I was out there. You know, I wasn't there with my thing. I'm thinking, why would you ask me this? So I hit her back. I said, why would you ask me that? And she said, well, you've gotten it for me before. That's not true. I'd never seen a Percocet at that point. Now, pills weren't my thing. I wasn't no dollar person. But anyway, she said that. And then she kept going. And she was in the shelter where my sister works. I said, what is this? This is some kind of game. I called my big sister. I said, hey, check this out. I said, I don't want to get this person in no trouble. I said, don't give them no trouble. I said, but they're struggling. I said, somebody under your tutelage is struggling. And then she said, well, what's going on? And I told her. I said, for her to call me, but I was ordained minister at that point in my life. For her to call me, that means she'd have called everybody else. You know what I mean? I had to be the last resort. So I told my sister that she needed to deal with that. So she dealt with it. The girl got mad and called me a snitch and all kind of stuff, whatever. You know, she didn't get no trouble, but now they put more parameters on her. See, before I preached this a while back. First, you got to know what help is. In order to get help, you got to know what it is. See, my sister was helping her. She didn't think it was help because it wasn't coming in the form she wanted to come in. So anyway, I don't know, months go by. A message comes from this girl. Hey, can you get me some hard? I didn't even bother to respond. The hard is rock, crack, for anybody who don't know. Why does she keep calling me with this? So I didn't even respond. I'm at the gas station by my house. And here she comes. She sticks her head in my window. And she propositions me for sex for money. I said, check this out. So I don't know what your problem is. I said, but I don't do that no more. I said, I don't do that no more. I said, that's them days old. You ain't no preacher. Yo, she began to call me every name but the child of God. So I start driving away. She's running out. She's running beside my car. Even that little demon running beside my car. I'm going to get you. You're going to see. I'm going to get you. So I go home. I go to bed. And I'm laying down in my bed. And my little sister calls me. My baby sister. No, she's never been in the streets. Never done that stuff in her life. She's a great gal. Anyway, she called me. She says, wow, you seen your Facebook page? I said, no, You can't get on Facebook like that. She said, no, she asked me. She said, no, it's not. She asked me first. She said, do you know? And she called the girl's name. I said, yeah, but how do you know her? She said, you seen your Facebook page? And she got on that Facebook page, boy, and said, it had my picture up there and said something, everything you can say. Now, it was late at night. She wasn't at the place no more. I didn't know how to find her, so I let it go. Okay, no problem. I laid down, I prayed about it. And my brother came over. My brother knocked. He's, hey now. He's, hey man, you seen this? And I looked at it. I said, yeah. I said, Sauna called me already. She told me about it. My brother said, man, come on, let's go get her. See, because we came from a family. Let me keep it real. So I'm not gonna. We came from a family. We were from the project, from the square. You did us. We coming to get you. That's how we live. Yeah, that's the way we live because that's how we were taught. And when my daddy taught me, if one of y'all fight, all y'all fight. If they fall, put your feet on him. These are the things we would turn. So, and then I told my brother, I said, hey, man, I said, no, man, I'm not going out there. I'm not going out there, man. He said, what? He looked at me. He said, you taking this awful calm. I said, but lad, I said, man, I'm not the same guy I used to be. I'm not the same guy I used to be. That thing can't take me nowhere no more. That mouse is dead. That mouse is dead. That thing couldn't take me nowhere no more. And I showed it to Marvin. I showed it to my brother. and then, you know what? It just like it came, it went away. I haven't heard anything else about that. But I just want to close with this. You don't have to be hostage to those emotions inside of you. Emotions are fickle. Feelings are fickle. They will get you in the places you never, ever thought you put yourself into. Other people can't validate you. Other people can do you wrong. But God, he says, many are the affliction of the righteous. He said, many are the affliction of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. Let us pray.